Well, good morning, folks. It is wonderful to be gathered in God's presence in His house with all of you. And as we are gathered here this morning, let us remember the day that we were brought into the family of God through the amazing blessing of baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this morning, this time that we get to be in your presence and open your word and hear your voice, Lord, and have the Spirit work in our hearts and to continue to help us to grow in our faith, Lord, both in the content of that which we understand that you have promised for us and also that confidence, Lord, that we have in you, in your promises. Lord, grow us, help us, teach us, lead us, and refresh us, Lord. Thank you for this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's sing.
He has come.
Friends, as we come into our Father's presence today, we have so many needs. We have needs for strength and needs for leadership and guidance from Him. We have needs for understanding Him better, but we also have needs to shed the sins that we have committed and that are on our conscience and standing between us and God. So let us take this opportunity, because our God provides for us every good gift, including this gift of forgiveness. So let's confess our sins and receive absolution. Please stand as we confess. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning on this beautiful Palm Sunday. The reading today is from Philippians. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That is the name of Jesus. Every name should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
All right, it is now time for the children's message, and so Miss Lauren is going to come up and give us the message on this Palm Sunday.
Good morning. How are you all doing today? Well, it's a very special day. I have something fun to show you. Can you close your eyes? Close your eyes. Keep them closed. Isn't it amazing? It's wonderful, isn't it? Isn't this a great thing? Oh, wait. I guess I should have you open your eyes, huh? That was silly, Miss Lord. Open your eyes. Can anyone read what's on this box? Palm. Now, you know why I think this is like one of the coolest things? So this palm box is actually full of old dead palms that we never got to use. Do you know when this is from? Can you take a guess? Last year. So you know what's so awesome and why I think this is so cool? It's because this year our palm box will get to be empty, which is so great because it is a special Sunday. It is Palm Sunday. Who has their palms here with them? Did you get some? Hopefully, if you did it, you can grab one. Wave them in the air. It's a special Sunday. So I have a little video. Maybe it looked something like this. Take a look. Now, some of the leaders were a little skeptical, but the people were excited, weren't they? They were happy. It was like a parade. Who's ever been to a parade? Especially like the Eureka Days parade? Like, that is fun, right? They were happy. They were joyful. Their Savior was coming into town. And that is what we celebrate today, which is Palm Sunday. Now, did you notice what Jesus came in on? A donkey, right? Because Jesus was a servant. He could have probably come in on any grand thing that he wanted to, but he came in the form of a servant. Now, this is a very special week. Let's see if there's any little kids out here. Do you know what week it is this week? We call it Holy Week, right? Because we get to take this whole journey that leads up to Easter, where we celebrate Christ's victory on the cross. But for today, we celebrate. We know that, you know, at the beginning, you remember how I had you close your eyes and you couldn't really see what I had? Kind of in a different way. The people were very excited that Jesus was coming. They didn't necessarily see God's big plan, but Jesus knew why he was coming into town. He was coming into town to die and give his life for you and for me. And so that's a very special thing that we get to think about and know this week. So let's do this one more time. Hosanna, God saves us, and let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for giving your life for us. Please be with us this week as we celebrate and go through Holy Week. And we know that it doesn't end on Good Friday, and we're so excited to come back next Sunday and celebrate your victory. And please be with each and every one of us as we open our hearts and our minds to everything you have for us to learn this week. In your name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Lauren. And the rest of us, let us open up our Bibles, or you can look at the screen, same thing. The sermon text for today is Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 through 12. Now, this text sounds very peppy and upbeat and encouraging and cheerful, but we have to remember that this was given to the children of Israel while living in captivity in Babylon. So they have just gone through some really terrible times. That they watched their temple be destroyed, the capital city, Jerusalem, was destroyed. Their nation was no more. Their king and all his children were killed. The priests and anybody with any kind of education was dragged off into captivity to serve the Babylonians. So this is not the greatest time for Israel, which is exactly why God gave them this. So listen to this. It says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now, I announce that I will restore twice as much to you." All right. You can appreciate why the children of Israel were not feeling all that peppy when they heard this, that they had just gone through the opposite of everything this text is talking about. They were not in the frame of mind to rejoice or to shout aloud in a happy way at all. They had just gone through a war that they lost badly. Many of their family members had been killed, taken into slavery, captivity. Bad news, really bad news. And at this very inappropriate time, God, through the prophet Zechariah, comes to his people and tells them to rejoice, which doesn't seem very likely. But he gives them reason to rejoice, at least. He doesn't just tell them rejoice for no reason at all. And so he says, listen, your king is going to come to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey. Well, that seems like a rather odd thing. I mean, why on earth would a king be riding on a donkey? Well, you got to remember what the children of Israel have just experienced. They just experienced warfare. Guess what kings ride in war? War horses, right? I mean, great big, huge, intimidating animals that will, definitely scare the bejeebers out of anybody. I mean, it's scary stuff. These guys are huge, right? And so the king is sitting up on this horse, and you are definitely knowing that you are about to be subjugated to him, right? You're definitely on the low end of this totem pole. All right. Well, except that we have a king who is coming that is lowly and riding on a donkey. Now, a king riding on a donkey, is he prepared for warfare? No, he's probably going to spend at least as much time fighting the donkey. He may not have a lot of attention for you. He is definitely going to be, it's just not a fearsome thing. I mean, donkeys, they're not smooth. They're not fast. You're not going to charge the gates on a donkey. And they're tiny. They're not nearly as big as that great big war horse. And so, I mean, you can see the image of Jesus coming, or of the king who is promised here, coming lowly and riding on a donkey. All right, so not a warlike position to be in, on the colt, the foal of a donkey. So it's a little donkey, all right? Not even a big donkey. Good. So now it says, I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. So what is he telling the children of Israel in captivity? We're going to deal with this whole warfare problem. It's going to be gone. We're going to deal with this, right? His rule will extend from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. Because of the blood covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Now imagine being in the desert. Is there any worse place to be than a waterless pit? It is certain death. There's just nothing good that's going to come of this, but it'll be a nice lingering death. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's, but we've been rescued from the waterless pit, so that's a better thing. Okay, good. So anyway, so then he tells us, return to your fortress, to your safe place. And I love this words, you prisoners of hope. Have you ever felt like you're a prisoner of hope? I mean, prisoner usually doesn't end with a good thing. You know, prisoners of war, prisoners of the federal government, right? I mean, there's usually something intimidating and ugly at the end of prisoners of. But this is a really interesting phrase because it's the prisoners of hope. And why did he address his people here as the prisoners of hope? Well, here's the thing. Everything that they could see and everything that they had experienced in the short term was not hopeful. There was nothing good in it. Death and destruction, the end of everything that they loved and cared about. Suddenly not knowing what you're going to hand on to your children and if your grandchildren are going to be given anything good, because all of a sudden everything that they owned and all the control that they had on life was gone because they were being dragged off into captivity. So what is it that they hoped in? They didn't hope in what they saw. They hoped in the words of the prophets, the words that God delivered to them, the words that said, listen, this is for a little time. This is for a while. But the end is coming. The end of your suffering, the end of your shame, the end of this captivity, the end of God's people living in a foreign land, this will end and you will be restored. And the final verse of this reading is that I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. That they will be in better condition at the end than they were before. And that hope in that promise was all they had to cling to anymore. To the point where that was their world, that was their thing that they clung to, that was the thing that made sense of this world, that they realized that no matter how crazy this time was, that they knew better times were coming and that God was going to restore them. Did he restore them? Yeah, he did. He brought them back out of Babylon, out of that foreign land. He sent them back not just as a people, but as a people given money and provisions and permissions and the right to actually ask the people who lived in that area for the resources needed so that they could rebuild the city walls and rebuild the temple. And they did it, and it was amazing. And God's the one that really did it, because this was one of those things that only God could have arranged, that the pagan king in a far-off land would make it possible for God's people to rebuild Jerusalem. Insane. Absolutely nuts. But did all of this come true? I mean, did their king come riding on a donkey, lowly? Well, no. At least not then. But the children of Israel were prisoners of hope. They knew that the time would come. And now in the day that we are celebrating today, Palm Sunday, the Jewish people still remember this promise. They remember this promise that God made to their fathers almost 400, 500 years ago, way back in history, right? And they still remember the promise. And they find themselves once again living in subjugation to a foreign country. They're living under the Romans, and they don't like it. They don't like having to take orders from some pagan. They don't like having to pay taxes. They don't like this. But they are prisoners of hope. Prisoners of hope to the promise of God. And You know, all of a sudden this Jesus character shows up on the scene and he starts doing these miracles and all this teaching, and he starts getting an increasingly large following, and then he becomes really controversial because he starts talking about all this like dying thing and raising again, whatever that means. And there all this stuff is happening, but all of a sudden Jesus starts walking into the city of Jerusalem. But is he walking? No, he sent his disciples ahead to get him a donkey, a little baby donkey. I guess it was big enough to carry him at least. And they put him on the donkey, and all of a sudden it turns into a parade. And the people, remembering this text, start rejoicing greatly and shouting aloud. And they acknowledge that this king is here, the son of David. The one who is promised is here. And you know what? Most likely they were really, really digging in this because they were thinking that Jesus was going to come in and get rid of the Romans. I mean, most likely they were half right. You know, they recognized the right guy as that king that they were waiting for, but they got the timing wrong. You know, they were expecting to be delivered from the Romans at this time, but instead God had bigger plans. And instead of delivering the people from the Romans, he delivered them from the enemy that they'd most likely kind of forgotten about, their sin. You know, that enemy that had been haunting all of mankind since the fall into sin in the Garden of Eden, that sin that corrupted the people that sinned, but also corrupted all of creation and caused people to be evil, like the Romans, who were like all into gaining power and imposing power over other people and taxing them to death and trying to, all of these selfish ambitions that people have and all of the things that people do to each other. And the children of Israel were living in the middle of that, but they saw what was happening to them. They felt the pain of being, you know, having this authority imposed upon them, but they didn't think in terms of the sin causing it. But Jesus did. And then there was all of the sicknesses. I mean, there was a lot of people who were ill in those days. I mean, you can tell because Jesus was healing people all the time. And I mean, we have detailed stories of some of the healings, but there's so many places in the Gospels where it just says, and Jesus healed many. And Jesus healed everybody they brought to him. I mean, it's just said, how many people were healed? Who knows how many people were healed? But there was a lot of sick people, and the chances are Jesus didn't get to them all. I mean, there was a lot of sick people. And were the Jewish people hoping that this Messiah who is coming was going to save them from their sicknesses and diseases? And absolutely they were. They knew those promises of God too, that all of their pain was going to be taken away, that the lion would lay down with the lamb, that there would be enough food, that everybody would be blessed and everybody would be successful and have plenty. But is that what God, Jesus came for this time? No. But why do those people have all those problems? Because of sin. And that's why Jesus chose to come. And then, of course, there was all the problems that Israel had constantly with, like, too much rain, not enough rain, storms off the Mediterranean, desert winds, all these, you know, dust storms, all these problems that people in that area of the world, you know, deal with on a constant basis. And were the people of God hoping that that God was going to come and deliver them from all these natural disasters and problems that they were facing as well? Yes. But is that why Jesus came last time? No. Jesus came to deal with the sin that caused all that stuff, that caused the corruption of creation and made it turn against us. And so the people of Israel were celebrating, because they saw their king coming and they recognized him. They didn't understand why, but they recognized him and they obeyed this passage that said, rejoice and shout greatly, daughter of Jerusalem, for behold, your king is coming. And the children of Israel did not get all their problems solved that day or that week. And all of our problems are still with us, aren't they? I mean, disease, you heard of much else lately? Shootings, you know, people perpetrating violence against other people, you know. Anybody go downtown lately? Anybody want to go downtown lately? Yeah, it's, the world is a messed up place. And you know, that's not even talking about the stuff, that's just talking about the human issues and problems and relationship stuff and the violence that people do to each other. Not even talking about, like, the natural problems that are happening where Texas gets into a deep freeze. And I mean, it's just the crazy stuff that's going on in this world. Thing is this, you know, God referred to the people of Israel at that day as prisoners of hope. And he did it because he knew that the only thing they have to cling to is his promise. That's what we have to cling to, too. We live in a world that's insane and out of control. I mean, as far as we're concerned, he's in control, but we're not. And we sit and wonder, when is this all going to come to an end? And comes to an end when he comes again. We know this because he told us this. He told us this, and so we have hope in that promise. We have hope in the promise that God gave, because when God speaks, it happens. God is faithful in a way that we don't even completely grip, because in our world, faithful people are people who are faithful most of the time, you know? God is faithful all of the time. And guys, listen, we are prisoners of that hope. Not prisoners in any kind of negative sense, but prisoners in the sense that we are anchored by it. We are held in place by it. We are connected to it. And God, in his mercy, holds us to it. The children of Israel were rejoicing on the first Palm Sunday because they thought Jesus was coming to solve all their problems. And in a very real sense, he did. he solved the core underlying problem that was underneath all their problems. He solved the problem of sin by taking that burden on himself. But we live in that hope that he is coming again. And when he comes again, just listen to this. This is Romans 7, verses 15 to 17, a description of what it's going to be like when Jesus comes again. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will live among them. They will neither hunger anymore or thirst anymore. The sun will not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the middle of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to the living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eye. My friends, we are his children. We have been covered by his grace. We have been baptized. We live in the promise of his redemption. And he is coming again. And when this world is insanely out of control and you're just like, you just don't know how in the world you're supposed to go through another day of all this chaos and mayhem, remember this, we are prisoners of hope. Hope in his promise. Hope in the one who has gone ahead of us to prepare a place for us. A place made just for us. Let us live as prisoners of hope. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've come before you today and we thank you. Thank you that you have made us your children. Thank you that you have covered our sins. Thank you that you have granted us redemption. Thank you that you have promised to be with us every moment of this life. But Lord, thank you so much that we have that hope of eternity. Eternity living in your presence in a perfect place. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. And now let us continue our worship by singing, "That Is Why We Praise Him." And that's a good reason to praise Him.
To live a perfect life, He came to be the living Word, our light. He came to die so we may reconcile. He came to rise to show His power and might. And that's why we praise Him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer Him our everything. That's why we bow down.
Let us now confess our faith using the words of the explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand as we confess. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, He daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, He will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have created for us to come into your presence and worship you, to receive from you your word, your guidance, your unbelievable forgiveness, Lord, the work of the Spirit upon our hearts, encouraging our faith. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be active in our hearts and minds as we move forward. Lord, help us to remember the things that we have been taught so that we can apply them, Lord, and speak them, Lord, in encouraging each other as well as being encouraged ourselves. Lord, I pray that you would continue to guide your church in the same way. Help us, Lord, to see the opportunities that you put before us, the work that you have given us to do, Lord, in this world and in our community, that we would be actively encouraging and supporting one another, Lord, and reminding each other, Lord, of your presence, of your promises, pointing each other to you in all circumstances. Lord, I pray that you would also continue to provide for your church, Lord. Thank you so much that you have provided for us in such miraculous ways and that you continue to do so. Lord, I pray that you would help us to use the resources that you give us wisely, but at the same time, Lord, not worry about your provision because your word is faithful. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all of those in our congregation who are struggling at this time, Lord, whether it be physical problems, Lord, whether it be financial, whether it be relational, or any other kind of burdens that people are carrying at this time. Lord, you are the answer to all of these problems. You have strength that we need. You have guidance in Scripture. You have all the answers. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be able to trust in you and seek out those answers in you. And thank you, Lord, for continuing to care for us at all times. Lord, all these things we bring you today, and we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
The splendor of the end. The God that breathes.
How beautiful he is, how beautiful is his salvation, his baptism, his constant nourishing of his children through his body and blood, his forgiveness of sins that he gives us just a few minutes ago earlier in the worship service. He is beautiful, and all his works are beautiful. And may this God who has, and we are prisoners of the hope, right, of his promises. And he has promised that through this gift that he would give you forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Having received this gift, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing the final song together. And this song, it's relatively new to me. I hope it's not just my memory. Is it new? Okay, good. It's new. It's not just my memory. The thing is if you struggle with singing it for a little bit because we haven't heard it a lot before, just meditate on the words as you stumble along and try to sing. Remember how God says joyful noise, not beautiful singing. That's not the requirement. So stumble along as best you can, but more than anything, absorb the words of this incredibly beautiful song. It was wonderful worshiping with all of you on this beautiful Palm Sunday. I invite you to be please come back during the week. We got Maundy Thursday service where we celebrate the giving the gift of Holy Communion and the Great Commandment, and then of course Good Friday, where we have a Tenebrae service where we read passages from the Passion of Christ and then sing wonderful, meaningful hymns. That really, truly, in such an emotional and wonderful way, just soak up that unbelievable gift that Jesus and sacrifice that Jesus gave on our behalf. As we are wrapping up today, I do want to point out that we have Dorwood Burkschulte in the chapel over here, one of our elders who is willing to pray with anybody who wishes individual prayer after the service. And God's blessings on your week, folks.